Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, ladies. I am absolutely excited to be with you again. It's been a while since I did a podcast, but I am your host, Sonya Walker, owner of Essence and the Essence of a Woman's Ministry and the Beauty Lounge Boutique. My whole ministry company is about beautifying women from the inside out. Excuse me. And so, I want to talk today. I had promised you ladies that I wanted to give you a gift. I wanted to share with you about decluttering your prayer life and your desires so that you can see what God said. And so I want to share with you, first of all, how this came about. Toward the end of last year, I was noticing that I felt like I wasn't being productive, that I was busy, but I wasn't seeing anything happen, that I felt like I had been laboring in vain for a long time. And even though I have a boutique and different things like that, I still yet felt empty, like, why am I not seeing what God said? I'm getting older. I don't know how much time I have left, but I want to see the plans that he has for me. So this led me to a conversation with God about basically, Lord, I'm tired of laboring in vain. I'm tired of doing things that I spend all my time, money, resources doing that come up to nothing. So many people had asked me to help them do this, and I would stop. I'm following my vision, the vision that God gave me, to help them, but it would come up to nothing. And so I found myself empty in my own dream. I began writing a workbook. You can get it from the website called Declutter Your Life. And my website is essence.com. And so I began to write this book that God gave me called Declutter Your Life. And in that workbook, one of the things that he gave me was declutter your prayer life. Not only declutter your prayer life, but declutter your desires. Okay? And it's because everything that God gives you, it's going to have a return. We have to know the difference between a good thing and a God thing. And so we're going to get more often to that as time permits. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 through 12. I want you to read it on your own, but I really want to pull out verse 12. And Daniel had been praying for 21 days, and on the 24th day, the angel of the Lord appeared to Daniel, and these were his words. He said, Daniel, the day that you set your heart and mind to humble yourself, I heard you, and I came in response to your words. Meaning that, Daniel, the day that you set your mind and your heart, that means that Daniel had to be set in his thinking, set in his heart, that I am going to get an answer from God. And so I want to talk to you about having a mindset of prayer, a mindset of prayer. First of all, ladies, we cannot think that we're going to receive anything from the Lord if our mind is not set. You can't go into prayer with a to-do list and then things that you want him to do, things you need to do during the day. Your phone is in prayer with you, and it's going off, and you're getting all of these notifications, and now you're not focused on prayer. You're focused on everything else but prayer, right? So what does it mean to have a mindset? To have a mindset means to be fixed in a position, to hold in place. So we know that, number one, in order for us to declutter, we first have to have a mindset for prayer. most oftentimes people don't even want to pray. When you talk about having prayer at church, most people don't even show up for prayer. But they want to be selective about worship. People want to be selective about their prayer life. Most of the time we pray when we're in trouble. We never pray to God just because of who he is. Or we always want to go into prayer asking for things. Gimme, 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 gimme. Lord, can you do? But how many of you want to be in a relationship with somebody who only calls on you when they need you? They never just call you to see how you're doing. They never just call you to say hello. Well, this is how we do God. We only call him when we want something, but we never call on him just to say hello. We never call on him to say, God, I thank you. We never call on him to say, God, I honor you. I give you all the praise. Lord, I don't want anything from you today, but I am just grateful for your grace and for your mercy. Because most oftentimes we think that we're God and he's a butler. Just serve me. Just do what I'm asking of you to do. And that is not who he is. That is not who he is. Because I think we forget that God is sovereign. Sovereign means that he reigns. He has total reign. That means that he can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it. And we must understand, ladies, that God is not going to do anything that is against his will. Well, let's clarify that. God is not going to do anything that is against his will. He's not going to give you something that is going to lure you away from him, because God does not go against his own word. Okay? So then, you know, we just can't say that everything that we pray about is of God, because that's not true. Everything that we pray about is not of God. Okay? So then let's go to Matthew 23 and 1. So the first thing I want us to get a good understanding about when we talk about having a mindset of prayer is knowing that you cannot look at someone and decide if they know how to pray. We cannot look at someone and say, oh, they can pray and I can't. You cannot look at someone, and also a position does not mean that you pray. You got a position, you got a title, but that doesn't mean that you pray. Because most of the time, platform, we want the relationships, we want the things, we want this and that without prayer. Lord, we're just going to bypass prayer. And we're just going to begin to ask for things and more things and more things. Please forgive us, God, because, you know, we just want more things. I don't want to pray to you. I don't want to ask you if this is your will, if this is your way, if this is what you want from me. What I want to do is I want to send a prayer, a post, and I want to tag you in my post. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Just like social media, you write what you want to write, and then you tag the person you want to see your post. And that's how we do God. We tag him. We add him to what we want without first seeking him. You know, and in this particular scripture, and you can find it on the website as well, because I'm doing an outline for you. In Matthew 23, it talks about how leaders wore their tassels long and wore scriptures under their arms because they wanted to look deep, you know, but they weren't praying. They wanted to just look like they were super spiritual, right? But one thing I want you to know, ladies, is that you do not have to know not one scripture to talk to the Lord, not one. That's going to free somebody right there. Why do I say that? He is your Father. And he absolutely loves you. And if we put it in the context of us being children, of us being babies, we didn't come out of the womb knowing scriptures. We didn't come out of the womb knowing how to talk, but our Father teaches us how to talk. He teaches us how to walk. And the same way it is with the Lord. He loves us. We are his children. And so don't let anybody make you feel like you're not worthy or that you're unimportant to the Lord, because you are very important to him. He created you. He loves you. So you don't have to know a scripture, not a one. You don't have to talk like thee, thus, thou art. You don't have to know any of that. And I don't even know who do that, but, you know. But you don't have to know any of that. You don't have to know how to speak in tongues. You don't have to have a position in church. You might be out of church right now, but that doesn't mean that you can't talk to him. Why? Because he's our Father, and he loves an arm. So don't let anybody tell you anything differently. You talk to him as much as you want to. People always tell other people, you know, when something happens, you can only talk to the Lord one time and then leave it at the altar. But I beg to differ. Why? Because the Bible says in our key scripture in Daniel that Daniel prayed for 21 days. That means Daniel talked about the same thing for 21 days until he got an answer. Can I just tell you that it's okay to go to God as much as you want to? Because he is your Father. See, in the natural, nobody can tell you how often to talk to your daddy the same way it is in the spirit. Can nobody tell you how often to talk to the Lord? Leaders, non-leaders, super spiritual, whatever. They can't tell you how often you should talk to the Lord. He's your Father. See, we got to know the difference between religion and relationship, okay? There is a difference. Relationship says he's my Father. Religion says that I have to know the laws and all these certain things in order to talk to him. Go to the next scripture, because I want to get in as many scriptures as I possibly can, but I do encourage you to really study it for yourself. Go over the outline. Listen to this podcast as much as you want. Print off as many copies of the of it as you want. It doesn't matter to me, because I would love for more people to know more about prayer. I was one of the associate pastors at my previous church, and I was asked to be over intercessory prayer, and I learned so much from the Lord just about praying to him and talking to him. It was so hard trying to encourage other people to pray, to come to prayer, because it doesn't seem exciting. And people would say, I don't know what to talk about. You don't have to always know, but you need to always be willing. That's the difference. You have to be willing to at least try. So it's not about what you know or what you don't know. Is simply be willing to go and talk to him, and he'll meet you right where you are. You might not be able to get on your knees. You might not be able at that moment. You might not be able. You might be in a store. It doesn't matter. He's always there, present. So you can talk to him any time of the day. It just don't have to be in the midnight hour, but it can be any time during the course of your day, okay? So let's go to James 1:6-8. James 1:6-8. I'm not going to read it, but it is in the outline. And if you want a copy of that outline, you can go where beautyisalifestyle.com. And I did a whole website on decluttering your life. And so just click on prayer. And when you click on prayer, you will see the outline, and you'll also see this podcast. Okay? And so just please share with others. All right, so James 1:6-8, I'm just going to sum it up. It basically talks about when you pray, believe that you have received. It talks about not being a double-minded person, a person who is unstable in all his ways, and a person who has doubt. It says don't think that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. So we're talking about having a mindset of prayer. But if you're going to have doubt, and if you're going to be double-minded, it says double-minded means to literally have two souls. That means a part of you, when you go into prayer, is fixed on God. The other part of you is fixed on the world. He says, you're not one within yourself, so don't think you're going to receive anything from me because you're not set. Because when you're set, your whole heart and your whole mind is in prayer. All of you is in prayer, all right, seeking the Lord while he may be found. Okay? So, and then there was another interpretation in the Message Bible. It said, don't worry your prayers. And what does it mean to not worry your prayers? You can't worry and pray. You know what I mean? When you say you worry your prayers, that means that you're praying with uncertainty. So my question to you is, do you believe what you're praying for? Do you believe it? Now, we want him to answer something we don't even believe. Right? So if you don't believe it, how's it going to come? How are you going to see what God said if you don't believe it? All right? So we have to be one in our heart and one in our mind. Right? So then when you talk about doubting, it means to be divided in one's mind, to debate. You can't pray and debate. But the problem is the conflict is that our prayers are cluttered. They're completely cluttered with so many things, so many ideas. So, you know, and it bothers me that 1 week somebody say, well, God said for me to do this, right? And then next week they say, God want me to do that. No, what that is that your prayers and your mind is cluttered because God is not confused. God is not going to tell you to do all these things in one time. Why? Because God is the God of order. God orders our steps. So God would not have you trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. All right? So in James chapter 3, in 8 through 12, it talks about whether these wars come from among you. And they're not, because if there's a war going on the inside of you, he says, when you pray amiss. Why are you praying amiss? Because the scripture simply says that you're praying to spend, you're spending it on your own pleasures. So your prayer is being spent on your own pleasures. Your prayer is about what pleasures you, what pleases you. And whenever we are praying for pleasure, this means that we need to declutter not only our prayers, but within our prayers, we need to declutter our desires. Because every good thing is not a God thing, right? It might be good, but that don't mean it's God. Because everything that God gives is beneficial. We have to learn how to be led and not driven, okay? We need clarity in our prayers in order to have a set mind. So he says, when you pray, you're praying amiss, to spend it on your own pleasures. There's two things that I shared with the women in the women's conference on last Saturday. I told them there are two things that we are doing. I want you to write down market and manipulation. Oftentimes when we are praying for our own pleasures, we are marketing God. We're soliciting him to answer our prayers. Marketing means that there is an exchange. You know, when you go to the marketplace, there is an exchange for goods and services. So when we talk about marketing God, you saying, God, I pay my tithes, so I need for you to do this. God, if I do this, I need for you to do this in exchange. So I need for you, God, if I do this for you, I need for you to do this for me. If I go to this church, then I need for you to do this for me. And so that is what we call marketing God. All right? We want an exchange, goods for services. Not God. We don't want God, but we want goods. We want goods in exchange for service. If I serve on the praise team, God, I need for you to give me something good, right? The other thing is manipulation. That means that we are trying to turn things into our favor, how we want it, the way we want it. We want it to be where we want it to be, so we're going to manipulate God in prayer. But God cannot be manipulated, and neither can we market or solicit him, because that's not who he is. Now, you can solicit the devil if you want to, and you can play manipulation with him and probably get some good, what you think is good, that's really bad. But with God, he can't be tempted. Because if you read in the book of James, he says that God cannot be tempted. Know that when you are tempted, you are drawn away by your own lust. All right? So you can't say that God gave you that because he wanted to try you, because God cannot be tempted and neither do he tempt anyone. Okay? So you can't, he's not going to tempt you to do anything that is not in his divine and perfect will. All right? In the book of Corinthians, it talks about It talks about 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, and you'll see it in your outline. It talks about casting down every thought and imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Before we go there, let me go back. I skipped one scripture. Praying amiss is James 4. James 3 is in 6 through 8 is talking about your tongue, taming your tongue. It talks about how, in one sense, you are blessing God and cursing man at the same mouth. It cannot happen. The Bible declares that it cannot happen. You cannot draw water, sweet water and bitter water, from the same pond. It's impossible. So with that, you don't go into prayer believing and blessing, and then you come out cursing the very thing that you prayed about. I'll give you a good example. You cannot go into prayer and pray about your relationship, whether married or single, and then come out of prayer and then talk about the man that you're with to your family, to your friends. Why? Because you just cursed what you asked God to bless. See, so your mind is not set. When you have a set mind, you need to either, if you're going to curse him, curse him. But if you want to bless him, bless him. Bless him and then come out and still be blessing him. But if you're going to pray for people, bless, that's blessing, but don't come out of prayer gossiping about the people that you just prayed about. Why? Because you are canceling out your prayers. Because they, blessings and curses cannot come out of the same mouth. Cannot. And you're not going to, I'm not going to receive anything from the Lord, because it cannot come out of the same mouth. Okay? So now we're going to 2 Corinthians. I hope this is really blessing you, because we got to change our mindsets toward prayer. Okay? So in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 5, again, it's in your notes. It talks about casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? Oftentimes, what I've learned is that we are praying in our imagination. What is the imagination? The imagination is a place where we create, we design, right? We capture, we cultivate, we form. We have this image in our head of how things should be, images of how things should go. That's our imagination, right? When we pray in our imagination, we are carving out a graven image. Why? Right? Because it's engraved in our heads how we think it should be, the way it should be, right? We do that with people, don't we? Don't we? You can be a wife and you have in your imagination how you want your husband to be. And because he is not who you want him to be in your imagination, you say he's not living up to your expectations. And because he's not living up to your imagination or expectations in your imagination, then you criticize and you talk about and you won't let him be the man of the house, yada, 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 so on and so forth. But maybe if you prayed in the spirit and not in your imagination, and praying in the spirit is praying in God's will. What do I mean by that? Praying, Lord, help me to accept my husband for who he is. Because you might find out, beautiful, that your husband is a great man. And that if you accept him for who he is, you might have an awesome marriage. We even have to do that with our children. We even have to do that with ourselves. So we have to come out of our imagination. When I started decluttering my prayer life, that was the first place that he dealt with me. I had to come out of my imagination. I had to be real with myself. I had to be real with where I was and say, God, this is not your will for me. Because as long as it's in my imagination, I fantasize about it. And I'm going to tag God on it and make it be him when in reality it's not him. You see what I'm saying? So God says in the book of Exodus, thou shalt have no other God before me. So when he says cast down your imagination and every high thing, everything that you need to ask God, and we have to seek God for his wisdom, for his guidance, for his understanding. I am at this age and stage of my life, I am craving God's wisdom because I'm tired of laboring in vain, tired of wandering through my life, tired of starting and stopping and starting and stopping and never completing, tired of going here and going there, and it turns out and it adds up to be nothing. So I need his wisdom, because wisdom, the Bible tells us in James that if we lack wisdom, then we can ask him for it, and he loves us that he would give it to us generously, without judgment, without anything. He wants us to ask him for wisdom. So if we're going to see what God said, we're going to have to change our mindset about prayer, right? We're going to have to learn how to talk to him as much as we need to about everything. We're going to have to be one within ourselves, within our hearts and with our minds, and set our minds on him. Because if you read that story on in Daniel, the reason why his prayers, because if you notice, it says, the Bible says that he prayed 21 days. There was a gap between the angel showed up on the 24th, right? So 21 days, 24 days, the angel says, I was held up in the heaven. Sometimes don't stop believing. If you believe in God for something, don't stop. Help is on the way. The enemy delayed him and detained him from bringing the answer. Read the story. Coming, a change is coming. You just need to keep the mindset that if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. I pray that this blessed you. I pray that it creates a whole new prayer life for you. Love you guys. And if you have any questions or any comments, you're more than welcome to email me at Sonya@EssenceImages.com. It is EssenceImages.com. And I would love to hear from you. And so have a blessed and wonderful day. And prayer, just know that prayer changes things. Amen. Have a good one. Bye.